Okay, and we're back live with another edition of the Black Oaths Fantasy League podcast. You got Jake with you, of course, and my co-host this week is a numbers man, a self-proclaimed numbers man, Scott Thonson. How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm well, thank you. Nice to be here with you, Jake.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're here. I know that you listen, you know, every week that you can, and I know just from talking to you yesterday, you got some firepower ready to go for some of these guys who've been talking a little trash to you. So I'm excited.
I am ready. So I hope that they're on notice. It's coming their way.
Yeah, they're going to be put on notice for sure. This week, we'll do the same as we always do. We'll go through the scores from last week. We'll jump through our power rankings 10-1. We do have some trade blocks this week. We got about 7, including Scott and I. That sent in trade blocks, and then just a preview of next week, and then we'll get out of here. We'll see how, if we can keep it under an hour. I literally say under an hour every single week, and it's normally about an hour 10, hour 15. So we'll see what we can do. All right. Well, let's just get right into it. Last week, Tristan 157 beats me at 134. Scott beats Sonny 177-136. Scott's the high scorer on the week. We got Jason beating Junie 169-98. Alex beating Zach 148-105. And Danny beating the low scorer of the week, Evan, 123-95. I didn't see a lot of surprises here other than, Danny and Alex scored 148, so that's fine. But Danny getting another win with only 123 points, that's upsetting. And Junie and Evan still scoring less than 100. Zach barely getting over 100. I mean, those guys, it's just every week. See, feels like it's the same thing. It's, they're scoring barely over 100, if at all.
Yeah, it seems to be a constant for a few teams breaking that century mark. But hey, you know, fantasy football is like match play golf. You beat the team that's in front of you, regardless how many points you score.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and Jason got 169 this week. You were the high scorer, 177, and you left a lot of points on your bench. There was a little issue with yours. I don't know. You can. Why don't you explain what issue you had, and we'll see if anyone else comes back and said they had a similar issue.
I had an issue with my iPhone and my iPad. They did not sync together. So one was telling me that I had one lineup set, and I assumed that that was the lineup that was in. Yet when I grabbed my iPad later after the games had started, it showed me a different lineup. And I'm not sure what went wrong, why it went wrong. And I left some points on the bench as a result, but you know what? It worked out. I guess the lesson learned is if you've got one more than one device that you utilize, just double check, make sure. Yeah. And it wasn't devastating. I think it cost me 1 point at one of my positions and a few points that, but it all worked out.
Yeah. No, it all worked out. You still scored the highest of the week, so. Nothing bad there, but I'd be curious to hear if anyone else has had really any issues, just because Junie had major issues and he's still dealing with that. You know, he's logged into an email address that's my email address, so it says my name under his team now. But yeah, if anyone has any issues, let me know. There's nothing I can do about it, but I'd just be curious to hear if anyone's having any more issues with ESPN.
Yeah, Jake, I don't know if it was an ESPN issue for me or if it was simply an iPhone or iPad issue. I know you could bang on me real hard about if it was an Android phone. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I had the iPad and iPhone. So where it went wrong, I'm not quite sure. And that's why I reached out to you. I think it was in the afternoon, which was probably too late for me to do so anyway. But I was just curious, am I the only one that had this problem?
Right. I got you. Well, let's get right into the power rankings now. This is where I think you're going to do some damage on some of these guys. Starting with number 10, Evan at 2-9. He has scored 1,329 points. As I found out today, though, Tristan went through and did the math and did tiebreakers and everything. Evan is not officially eliminated. Even though he's 2-9, he has to have a lot of stuff go right. I believe that for Evan to make the playoffs, he has to win out. Junie has to lose out. Santi has to lose out. And I think for some reason, Tristan said Zach needs to win in order for that all to happen. I'm sure that has to do with some tiebreaker in there. But I mean, he's had a lot of injuries this year. The it's stacked against him if he's even going to make it in there. But what are you thinking about Evan? What do you think about his team for this season?
You know, long shot at this point to make the playoffs. I'll blast Zach right now. I know Santi and all these teams have to lose out. Zach winning at this point might be the biggest long shot yet. So, you know what, Evan, rough year for you. Just your 49ers, rough year, injury depleted. But in regards to your fantasy team, looking at your roster, you got so many studs that stand out. I guess you picked the wrong teams to make the playoffs. I know back in week six or seven, you said my team was one that wasn't going to be in. I like that prediction. I haven't lost since then. And just it's lonely down there in the basement, I know. Don't hurt your neck looking up at everybody. But with that said, you still got a shot, so play it out. Yeah. Play it out.
I mean, he's made a lot of trades. I think he's maybe tied with the most transactions total for the year. And, like, man, he's got Kamara, Julio, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Mike Davis, you know, playing in front of McCaffrey right now. Like, he's got actually a good team. It's just I think it's too late for it at this point. Because he traded for Kamara late in the year, traded for Michael Thomas late in the year, Keenan Allen. So I think the injuries early just really, really messed him up. And I know last week he only scored 98 points, maybe 95. And yeah, I mean, his quarterbacks did nothing for him. It was just a rough overall day for him. 6 points from Matt Ryan, 9 points from Alex Smith. Kamara only got him 11. Long shot to make the playoffs, Evan, but it's still possible. So there's still
mathematically, it is. And here's what I would take from a season like this. Jake, this is my third year here with your league. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first year. I think within the first 3 weeks, I had lost four of my first five.
I remember that.
And these were not injuries where they were out for a week. These guys were done for the year. Yeah. It almost, though it's devastating, it almost makes you a better player. You dig deeper. You work harder. And I remember I missed the playoffs that year by one game. I think you and I both did.
Yeah.
And all I had to do was win my last game of the year, which I think was against you. And I didn't do it. And so all that work, but it does make you a better player in the long run. So hang in there. You still got a shot. Don't pack it in yet. And I'm pulling for you.
And Evan was not someone who sent me his trade block. We'll get to all the trade blocks later. But just to touch on it, because I may forget, because I have a list at the end. But Evan had told me last week he traded for Keenan Allen to keep him for a week, and then he wanted to flip one of his receivers, probably Keenan Allen, and get a running back in return. When I thought that he was eliminated from the playoffs, I figured, well, he's not going to make any trades. There's no reason to. But now that he has to win two in a row just to do his part and try to make the playoffs, I mean, it might happen. So there's his trade block. We'll do his now just because he wasn't on my list. I'll probably forget. But talk about not making the playoffs. My number nine is Zach. He is 4-7, 1,328 points, which is one less than Evan. So the lowest. He has a lot. The things that I noticed about Zach's team, what I go in and track is how many transactions people has had. So trades, you know, pickups, roster moves, basically. And he's only at 21, which is relatively low for a lot of us. I mean, he's only above Danny and Alex and Jason, who they don't do a ton of transactions themselves. And he's also on a 4-game losing streak. He's lost 5 of the last 6. Zach's team is a mess right now. I don't, you know, I always go back to he lost Chubb for a while. He lost Barkley for the year. He lost Odell. But he's been active. And I'm looking at his lineup this week, and he's starting Bell, who's projected 3 points. Ronald Jones is just, I don't know what to make of him. Do you hate Zach's team as much as I do?
There's pieces that I like. I do. But there are too many guys in the lineup here that are not projected to get double digit. And many of them are on the wrong side of that too, under 5.
Right. You're a numbers guy, you said. And I think to me, Zach is almost the opposite of that, where like he did everything he could early to get Russell Wilson. You know, he wasn't trading Tyler Lockett for, I mean, you could offer him Devontae Adams for Tyler Lockett, and I still don't think he takes that deal. He plays very much with his with his heart, with the Seahawks and players he likes and knows. What's your take on Zach's strategy?
You know, I'm not sure, because I went back and looked through a few of his weeks to see where did this derail for him. Mm-hmm. And there was one week in there where he had Russell Wilson and Lockett both on a bye, but he had them in their starting lineup. And
right,
that might be because, hey, I've only got 4 guys on my bench. I don't want to drop any of them. Mm-hmm. But if you're fighting for a playoff spot, you got to let somebody go, churn mm-hmm. your bench. Yeah. You're going to pick somebody else up because somebody else is at the same exact position you are.
Yeah.
So, but leaving those 2 spots open, I don't know what the final score was that week. And I probably should have looked closer at that, but yeah. And I just don't plug and play. I just don't plug in somebody because he's got the highest projected score. Mm-hmm. I tried to look at who they're playing. We can't predict game script, game flow, but the week I played him, I think Zach beats me if he puts Ronald Jones in the lineup.
Right.
The day he had the 98-yard mm-hmm. touchdown.
That's right.
So, and again, I don't remember who else he had in the lineup instead. I hope it wasn't Le'Veon Bell. I'm one that likes to field a full roster, full lineup.
So that week he had Zach Moss in his lineup over Ronald Jones. Zach Moss got him 2 points. So that would have been a 33-point swing, which, I believe that gets him the win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would have started Ronald Jones over Zach Moss there, but, you know, it is what it is. He made his own decisions. I don't know why he did that. But a player interest that I'm interested in hearing your take on his team is Travis Fulgham. So I traded him, Travis Fulgham, in the James Conner and, you know, Nick Chubb deal, all that. I don't know. Do you think he's done? He was a top 15 receiver for a long time, and now you go back and he had a bye week and then 2 straight weeks with 1 catch for 8 yards. How do you feel about Fulgham going forward?
I really don't. He seemed to be the guy there for that 5-week stretch.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Rager back. They've got Goddard back. Ertz is going to be back in a week or two. Yeah. And they've got Alshon Jeffrey they've thrown out there. And though I'm not high on him, I think his better days are well beyond him.
Sure.
Fulgham just doesn't seem to be getting the looks from Wentz. He's not getting the targets. So at this point, they're still projecting a good point total. But I don't trust that when he scored how many points in the last 2 weeks? None.
Yeah, zero.
One catch each week for 8 yards. Yeah. I would not be deceived by the 9.2 points that they're projecting.
Yeah, I guess if he doesn't do anything this week against Seattle, I mean, that's a wrap for him. Then you really can't trust him, and he's only rolling him out there as a wide receiver three, so it's not like the end of the world for him to have Fulgham out there. But yeah, it's like the reason that I was okay trading him was because I knew Rager was coming back, Alshon Jeffrey would be back at some point. So those targets are going to go away. Goddard came back. I know Ertz is coming back soon. So yeah, I'm low on Fulgham now. I'm really glad that I got rid of him in that trade, getting me Nick Chubb. And, you know, I feel the same way about Marquise Brown in his fourth wide receiver spot. And he doesn't have a single wide receiver out there to you know, put in over those guys. So,
Jake, I couldn't agree with you more. I was just looking. I was waiting for you to finish there so I could say Hollywood Brown has scored 10 points over the last month.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson just is not throwing the deep ball accurately.
No.
And again, this is another guy here. Is he costing you weeks because you continue to put him in
yeah.
in your lineup week after week?
Well, and that might go back to the low transactions. Pick up a wide receiver, get someone with some upside, even make a trade or two. I mean, I know he likes Russell Wilson, but someone would pay a lot for Wilson, even Connor. I've offered him multiple trades for Mike Evans. So I think he just doesn't explore the market for his players, and that hurts him in the long run. I mean, look at him. He's very close to being eliminated from the playoffs, but really it's up to if the other guys win, then he could find himself on the outside. He's got Danny this week. So, you know, he might be able to get one on Danny, but Danny's team's getting healthy too. So we'll see how that goes. Let's jump ahead to the number 8, and that's Junie. 3-8, 1,378 points. And man, I just feel like I say the same thing about Junie's team every single week, where I'm like, you know, on paper, it doesn't look too bad. You got Lamar Jackson out there. You're rolling out Aaron Jones, Chris Carson, Fuller, Metcalf, and Eckler's maybe coming back. It looks like he still has a zero for this week, but that's a possibility. But Junie's struggled. He has really, really struggled recently. At 3-8, he's lost, let's see, 5 in a row he's lost. That's not going to get it done. Do you think he's making the playoffs, or do you think he's out?
Who's he playing this week?
He's got me this week and Tristan in week 13.
Sorry, Junie. It's going to be a rough go.
Yeah. Hardest schedule by far of the
guys
on the edge. But, you know, preseason, they talked about Lamar Jackson's not going to be as good as he was a year ago. And he's a big name, and I think that's a big reason why he traded for Lamar Jackson and got DK Metcalf. But in that, he traded Rodgers to Danny, and Rodgers has been much better than Lamar Jackson. So maybe he's just chasing names too much. I don't know what's going on, but 5 in a row, and the highest that he's scored in the last 5 weeks is 117 points.
Yeah, looking at his quarterbacks, Lamar is rated number 9 amongst the quarterbacks right now in the league settings. For what you pay for him, for where he was drafted, that's just not getting it. It really isn't. And on top of that, Carson Wentz he's been very inconsistent. I think that hurts just right up off the top.
Yeah. Yeah, Carson Wentz hasn't been great. He's got Seattle this week, so you know maybe something happens there. But yeah, he's got a tough go because Aaron Jones is playing Chicago, Lamar's playing Pittsburgh, Carson's playing Philly, and they've actually been a pretty good defense against the run recently. Metcalf's got Philly too, of course. So yeah, it's going to be tough for him because he's got to win out to make it, I believe. So me and then Tristan in week 13 or week 12, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing him make the playoffs too. Did you have some smack for Junie?
Yeah, I guess I could save this when we get to my team. But okay. You know what? Honestly, Junie last week was – I think he called my team interested. And he was unsure as to how I had as many wins as I did. I did the math. I have 246 more points than he does through 11 weeks.
Yeah.
I have the record I have because I score about 23 more points a game than he does every week. And I do work the waiver wire. I think he said that I hit the lottery on a few players, which is why I score some points. I think he should be praised for that. I mean, when we go pick up a guy off waiver wire, or if you trade for somebody, you don't do it hoping that they're going to score a point or two. You do your homework and you plug the guy in because you think it's going to work.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of the fantasy football season. You got the draft, you've got trades, you've got the waiver wire, you manage your team. And I think all a part of it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I also go back to, like, you've picked up some players that, I mean, Micah Pittman Jr., that's someone that I really wanted to pick up recently. And there's been, you know, throughout the year a lot. And then I look at who Junie's picked up, and the one I like to go back to is the dude picked up Dez Bryant. I mean, it's just a name, you know. Dez Bryant, he was projected like 0.2 points the week you picked him up. Like, why are you wasting your time on that? And I just want to point out too, you haven't lost in the same amount of time that Junie hasn't won. So your win streak started week 7. Junie's losing streak started week 7. So I do think the comparison's funny, and yeah, I think him talking down on your team is pretty funny.
It's all good. And that's the beauty of fantasy football, though.
Yeah.
If everybody does it the same way, if everybody looks at it the same way, we're probably all going to end up with the same result. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to be 500 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I kind of like to go I see everybody walking one way, go the other way. Now, that doesn't mean I go pick up Dez Bryant, but try to not walk with the crowd all the time. Do something different, and then it might be the difference between you separating yourself from them in a positive way.
Sure. My next team up, let's see, this is going to be my number 7 team. Honestly, this person has record-wise one of the best two records in the league at 8-3, but only scoring 1,475 points, which is 7th in total points. It's Alex, and he has the lowest points against him by over 100 points. I'm gonna let you just go through what you think of Alex's team, because we went into it a little bit yesterday, and I thought you made some good points on it.
Oh man.
Exactly.
He's got a great virtual defense. Obviously he's got the best virtual defense I've ever seen. I don't, Alex, how you doing? Long time since I've seen you. Hope you're doing well. And granted, he lost McCaffrey. He's now without Drew Brees for a little bit here. I've never seen a team built this way and be 8-3. I just haven't.
It's wild.
And I've done fantasy football for a number of years now. And it is wild. I mean, he's got two receivers, and I know that happens sometimes. It's not always bad if it's on a roster that throws the ball a lot. But he's got both Cooper Kupp and Woods. Now, last week, that worked for him.
Very well, yep.
I don't know if that's going to work against the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I don't. I've done that in the past. It typically does not work.
Right.
And it can. but it typically does not work. That's not the way I want to stack my team.
Right.
But he's got just Stafford, Rivers. I look at quarterbacks first. Their best years seem to be behind him. I know Stafford's had probably a better year than many projected. Mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers, he looks like his arm is going to fall off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he can only throw it a few yards at a time, can he?
A great quarterback, Hall of Famer. He's ready to pack it in.
Yeah.
Well, but I do, I'll interrupt you here real quick.
Yeah,
I do like, I like Darren Waller. I do. I'm a Raider fan. I think most of you know that.
Yeah.
Waller is just the real deal. It's probably the number two tight end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Behind him. He's a stud.
Yeah. And that's, I was actually going to talk about Waller because I like to look, you know, when I'm looking at everyone's teams and, you know, it says 2020 season and where they're power ranked, you know, positionally. And I like to see, you know, how many guys were top, are in the top 10. How many guys on people's rosters do they have in the top 10 at their position? And Alex, take away his defense, he has one guy that's top 10 at their position, and that's Waller. He's number two. And really going down, it looks like the next highest is, other than the kicker, 14 with Robert Woods. So I have no idea how he's 8-3. You know, I know he's gotten pretty fortunate with the points against him being so low and just good matchups at the right time. But man, it's crazy to me that, you know, someone like that who's just not scoring great, seventh lowest points. I mean, obviously not scoring that great, and he's top of the league 8-3, obviously a lock for the playoffs. But I also think it's cool too, because, you know, he's 8-3, Danny's 8-3, and we'll get to Danny in a minute. But the playoffs are going to be interesting because those two guys at the top, there's going to be plenty of upset, you know, consideration there with whoever's 7-8. You know, you might be looking at Zach and I guess Sonny, Zach and Sonny. I mean, I think Sonny could beat Alex or Danny easily. So, you know, hey, good for you, Alex, but we'll see how it goes in the playoffs for you, because it takes one bad week. But number six is Danny, also 8-3, 1,544 points, which is sixth in points. Here's my stat that I have listed for Danny. He has not scored over 150 points since week 5. So you talk about the virtual defense. He hasn't had to play anyone that's, you know, had one of those weeks since, you know, before week 5.
Right. You talk about numbers. I try to find what I think is kind of the soft spots here on where we should be scoring. And I broke this down, and I'll just touch on it briefly here for Danny's team. I think the first 2 weeks he scored 177, 185.
Mm-hmm.
He won both weeks. Great. Those are great, great scores, but he hasn't jumped over 160 since that time. And a little later in the program, I'll tell you why that's important or why I perceive it to be important. But yeah, he broke 160 both weeks 1 and 2, has not done his thing.
Yeah. And hey, honestly, his team now, I look at it on paper and I don't hate it. You know, if Galladay can come back, that'd be better, obviously. But Miles Sanders, Kenny Drake, Todd Gurley, if everyone's healthy, I don't hate his team. And I don't know that it's 8-3 team, but I don't hate it at all. Got a top 5 quarterback in there. But hey, Miles Sanders got hurt literally the week that he traded for him. Gurley, I don't know if Gurley's done anything. I don't even keep track of that guy anymore. But Galladay, same deal. He actually traded for him while he was hurt, and he's still out. But, you know, hey, fully healthy, Danny's team might do something. But sixth in points now. And again, he hasn't even had to score that high at all. I know he beat me by 4. I think it was 143 to 147, somewhere in there. But, you know, Alex and Danny, they're getting pretty fortunate with these matchups. And I'm very jealous of that.
I agree.
I mean, hey, can't knock them for it too much. Cause if it was me, I'd be thrilled, but,
They did not make the schedule. They're playing what's in front of them, and mm-hmm. you play to win. They're winning. So, bottom line, good for you, Danny.
Yeah, and we're going to see it in the playoffs. We'll see how it really goes in the playoffs, because that's just not how it goes typically. You don't just kind of get the greatest matchups in the playoffs week to week. At some point, maybe you win the first round of the playoffs, but once it's down to 4-2, you're going to be playing against a tough team. Nobody, you know, Alex's team, I'm going to be very surprised if he makes it even out of the first round. But we'll move on to me at number 5. I put myself there. I'm 5-6, 1,618 points. And personally, I'll just say I like my team right now. I really like that I have two running backs that I view as RB1s. You and I talked about it a little bit yesterday that, you know, you got to have the workhorse running back. And I think I have two right now. Diggs, Hopkins, Jefferson, they've all been really great for me recently. Jefferson has had a couple big weeks in a row since I traded for him. Hopkins, you know, had a bad week, but every wide receiver is going to do that. I guess where I'm at with my squad is my quarterbacks are really, I'm having a hard time with them. Big Ben's been really good because he has so many receivers there to throw to, but I don't feel very confident starting Tua or Carr. I'm a lock for the playoffs, which is great, but you know, and we'll talk about more in the trade segment, but I think I need to somehow move for a quarterback at some point.
I agree. I do. And Tua being benched last week probably didn't help. Now they say he's starting again this week. Derek Carr would be more appealing to me, and he's got a good matchup this week. Mm-hmm. If he threw the ball down the field, he just does it. And being a Raider fan, that's frustrating for me to watch, because I think he had opportunities against Kansas City to move the ball further down the field. And I understand what they were doing. They were doing more of a ball control, keep Mahomes off the field, keep that offense off the field. I understand that, but I would like to see Carr air it out a little bit. And this is not the strength of his game. It's just not. A good stack for you would be having Waller with Derek Carr mm-hmm. together.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be very nice.
That would be nice. You know, Hayden Hurst. It's like if you don't have Waller, if you don't have Kelsey, if you don't have even Andrews, I guess you might put in there. If you don't have those three guys, it doesn't matter. Pick up a starting tight end on a team and go for it. So,
and if you play roulette, you're probably going to get burned with it. You know, I think tight ends number 4 through 12 or 13, they're all about the same guy. They're just all touchdown dependent.
Yeah,
and it makes it difficult. And I learned that I was trying to play a tight end roulette, afraid to let go of the wrong guy. And you pay for it. You do.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to get your opinion on a couple things with my team. First of all, right now in my quarterback spot, I'm starting Tua because they said he's going to start again this week. I know he has a thumb thing. We'll keep an eye on that. But just assuming he plays, I have him starting and I have Carr starting and Roethlisberger on my bench. And the reason is because Tua's playing the Jets. Carr's playing the Falcons, and Roethlisberger is playing the Ravens. If it was you, would you do the same? Or are you saying, trust Big Ben, he's been great. He's a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. He's got all those weapons. Hey, it's Baltimore, but you know what? He's still got three great weapons. And I guess if I was going to start him over someone, it'd have to be Tua. What do you think? Should I keep Tua out there, you know, assuming health, or do I say maybe I need to trust Big Ben because he's been so good recently?
I'm rolling with Big Ben.
Gotcha.
I would. I would. And the reason for it is I would be interested to see what very interested to see what the weather is going to be like in New York. That game is in New York.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I know the Jets are not good defensively, and they're even worse against the pass. But boy, some of those Raven Steeler games that you think are going to be defensive battles end up being high scoring bouts.
Yeah, that's true.
I could live with it if Tua was on my bench and he scores 20 points. Mm. I'd be beating myself up if that was Roethlisberger who gets you 25 or 26 points.
Right.
And he's on your bench. I always try to make the right play or make the right decision. The result isn't always going to be what you want, but at least it was probably the right choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth in my head, and I think I have leaned towards starting Ben, especially if there's anything going wrong with Tua, I want to know. But I think my counter argument to that is Tua had a terrible game last week. The Jets are giving up, you know, the 29th best defense to play against. Tua could have a monster game, a big bounce back game, and he does give you some upside with his legs, and Ben doesn't.
He does.
But yeah, it's hard to trust a guy that, you know, in two of the 4 weeks I believe that I've started him, he's gotten me single digit points, whereas Roethlisberger's been really, really good recently. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, especially because you're a Raiders fan, I've got Josh Jacobs, and you know me, I'm willing to trade anyone. There's deals to be made if I throw Josh Jacobs in. It's hard. I don't really want to throw in Diggs or Hopkins. Those are kind of my guys. Josh Jacobs is probably, and I don't want to throw in Chubb, obviously. Should I even explore trading him? You know, obviously if I can get a great deal for him, fine. But is he someone that, as a Raiders fan, you're like, no, he's having a big, you know, next few weeks. You should keep him, or like, where's the value there? And if I trade him, what should I be looking to get back for him?
I think you want to, if you want a wide receiver, I would get a wide receiver, at least one for him, and maybe a RB3. I like Jacob's schedule going forward. It's not bad. Here's the thing about Jacobs. He's high volume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll do a comparison. David Montgomery with the Bears, not the same player as Jacobs. I think we agree on that.
Yeah.
But David Montgomery is hard to sit down because he gets so many touches week after week.
Yeah.
And true. He has nobody to compete with for touches. Jacobs is kind of in a similar situation, but he's making more of his touches. Look, you and I worked on trades earlier. I was trying to get Jacobs from you. Mm-hmm. We couldn't figure something out, but I'm willing to revisit that. It'd give me something to work on after our podcast here.
Yeah. Well, I'll go through it because he is on my trade block, and I'll go through, you know, what I'm looking for and all that when we get there. But I'm just trying to decide, you know, am I crazy to break up what I have, you know, with Chubb and Jacobs and Diggs and Hopkins, Jefferson? Like, I feel like I have a great skill player core of those guys, running backs, receivers. Quarterback is real shaky for me. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence starting Roethlisberger as my top quarterback, even though he's been great. But, you know, this is coming from week, you know, two or three or whatever it was. I had Dak and Josh Allen, two top five quarterbacks. Like, that was the least of my concern. Now, I'm rolling out Tua and Carr some weeks, and for me personally, I always feel a lot better when I have a good, reliable quarterback. And
well, let me ask you this: can we go back to Ben for a minute?
Yeah,
Big Ben.
Yeah.
If you didn't know what they were projected to get for this week, who would be in your starting lineup?
Probably Ben and Carr.
Right, right. And is it the 19.3 that you're looking at with Tua that's saying, and it's only, what, 0.2 of a point higher?
Right, right.
But those numbers stare at you. You see them. And when you stack them up, you say, hey, I've now got 142.9 instead of 142.7. It matters. Sure. But my thought is it shouldn't.
Right.
And I just, and this might be the wrong play. And I might get blasted next week for saying, hey, Scott, hey. Good call.
Okay.
But I would go with Big Ben. I would.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, hey, maybe I'll have a trade done by then and it won't even matter. Number four, we'll keep it rolling with Jason at 7-4, 1,632 points. I moved him down one ranking of where he's normally been. I think I've had him at 2 or 3 most weeks. You know, record wise he's fine, points wise he's fine. Man, having Burrow out, to me, I was trying to get Burrow because the dude throws so much, and it just fantasy wise just gets you great numbers because he runs, he does everything you'd want. So now he's stuck starting Tannehill, Cam Newton. That's not bad. You know, they're both probably, well, as far as ranking goes, Tannehill's a high-end QB2 and Newton's a low-end QB2. You got Dalvin Cook, you got Tyreek Hill. Those are great players, but, you know, if I'm comparing it to like an Evans team, Evan has great players too, but what's he got around it? And I don't love what Jason has around his great players. DJ Moore, I know he's ranked 12th, but he makes me nervous. Cooks is he's 27th right now. He's averaging 9 points, so he's fine, but he's nothing to get excited about. Claypool has been great or bad, you know, depending on the week. It seems like he's kind of boom or bust. He had a 0-point week in there recently. So I don't feel great about his team. That being said, he's ranked 4. But you had some good points about Jason's team yesterday too. What were some of those?
Well, first and foremost, I agree with you about Joe Burrow. Yeah. Big loss. It is. He's one of those high volume guys. You know he's going to be throwing the ball a lot, especially with Joe Mixon out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how soon Joe Mixon is coming back. I hear conflicting reports on it.
I heard week 14. That was the most recent thing I heard.
But with that said, you know, Jason's team is, in a different way, it's a mirror image of what my team has been on points scored. Mm-hmm. And I don't just look at the total points for the year when, and it's funny here. I put my, and not that this matters, but I rank everybody 1 through 10 as well too, just, mm-hmm. just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
We have been spot on all the way through so far.
nice.
And I think I come up with my rankings a little different. Jake, like your team to rank it based off points, it doesn't work. I think it's irrelevant. Your team is different every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I think this is the first week that you haven't made a major trade. And
not yet.
We're still early.
Yeah.
But you know what happened in weeks 1 and 2 or 3? I don't know if that matters as much on your overall points or your ranking or how good your team is, because our teams are all different. You get injuries, you get waiver moves, but Jason's been scoring right around over the last 5 weeks, 147, 148 points a week.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I understand why he's what's his record, 7-4 at this point.
Yeah,
he should be there. Points wise, he's 8 points ahead of me. He's averaging less than a point more than me every week, and the points aren't always the same. It was interesting, and this is probably what you were alluding to that I was mentioned yesterday. Jason, when he was your co-host, kind of nitpicked my team a little bit and said it's just average. I think he used the word average 3 or 4 times when describing my team. And I think the statement was made that my team is never going to score. I don't know if it was above 160 or 165, but it'll never score below 125.
Right.
You know, my team has scored over 160 more than Jason's has this year. If you go look back at all the results. So, and I believe I got it down here somewhere. Jason's team, we both scored under 120 once, but I've eclipsed 160 five times this year.
Yeah.
He's done it four times. So if not being above 160 makes you average, I guess that's what Jason's team is. I mean, he described his own team and inadvertently, but no, I like his team. I do. I think the biggest struggle for him at this point is going to be at the quarterback position. He's got a lot of support all the way around.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, you know, saying the Jason's four and you know, I knocked him a little bit with some of this stuff. That's definitely not to say I dislike his team. I knocked him down a spot for 90% of that is because Joe Burrow's out. And I think Burrow, in my opinion, was a top 10 quarterback just purely based on volume, you know, throwing the ball and even running the ball. He gets some rushing touchdowns in there. So that's a big, big loss for him. You know, even if I was Jason, I was thinking I should trade Burrow or Tannehill if I was Jason a couple weeks ago, because you got three, you got guys in the league that needed quarterbacks. Go get yourself some receivers or a running back or something for one of those guys. And he didn't. I don't know why. I guess maybe he wanted bye week fillers. That's fine. But yeah, I moved him down one spot. He's still doing fine. I put you at number three. Just my quick analysis about your team before I let you, you know, talk about it is that you're getting healthy. You know, as far as Mostert coming back, he's been great. You know, if I look at his first few weeks, at least when he was healthy, weeks one and two, he was 28 and 23. I'm sure that was somewhere in the top five running backs. He was hurt for 2 weeks, came back, got you 12 and 8 against, you know, some tough matchups. Miami and the Rams have both been tough matchups. And then he's been out. So if he comes back anywhere near where he was, now you've got Robinson, Mostert, and then, you know, CEH or Jonathan Taylor, depending on who you decide to start each week. That's huge. Your quarterbacks are probably my favorite quarterback duo, at least really close there with Sonny. No, I like your team, and I'll let you just tell me what you like about your own team now.
I like the quarterbacks. I listen closely and I think this is good when the teams are critiqued every week. I do. And I do listen closely to it. I know for a couple of weeks there, Adam Thielen was said to be just another guy, just another guy. Look at where he ranks. He's the fourth highest receiver in this format. There's only Devontae Adams, DK Metcalf, and Tyreek Hill have scored more points than Adam Thielen. Now he may be out this week with the COVID restriction, but I think that was the false positive is what they're saying until my but I like Adam Thielen. I do. And I know a lot of that's been stacked a little bit here towards the last 3 weeks. He's been on a tear here lately. I do like my running backs. I have no Dalvin Cook. I don't have a Zeke Elliott. James Robinson is about as close to that. And I think most of his value is he has nobody competing with him for the touches.
Right.
But he's number four running back right now.
Yeah.
And not considering Mostert, because I think he will be a stud when he comes back. And if it's this week or next week, they're projecting him this week. CEH and Jonathan Taylor, I know he's been sporadic at best. Jonathan Taylor's still number 18. He's still an RB2.
Yeah.
And CEH is a borderline one, high end two. So
yes,
if you got three running backs that are ranked in the top 20 in a 10-team league, I think you're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would it be not everybody's going to have Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry. I get it. But I like my running back. I do. And you add Mostert back to that. I had Jason and I real close to one another in my rankings. And the only difference I put myself over him was simply because I'm getting Mostert back in October.
Yeah, I while you were talking there, I was thinking about, you know, when we were talking about guys not working the waiver wire to, you know, the most efficiently, I guess. I kind of think of Zach in that way a little bit and Junie in that way, because both those guys have had high waiver, you know, opportunities for the year. And, you know, when they are spending waiver pickups on Dez Bryant is the example I keep using, and I've seen them use it on other guys. And right now Zach's starting Marquise Brown and Travis Fulgham. Well, you picked up Pittman Jr. recently off waivers. You picked up Curtis Samuel off waivers. I'm sure you picked up Jerry Jeudy off waivers at some point. CD Lamb, you picked up off waivers. And at this point, if you said any of those guys over Marquise Brown, I'd do any of those guys over Marquise Brown. Maybe even Fulgham at this point too, with what's going on there in Philadelphia. So yeah, it goes back to, you're doing a good job on the waiver wire, specifically with wide receivers. You know, it's funny, you had like three wide receiver spots open 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now I've wanted Pittman Jr. pretty bad. I think that he's going to end up being something, maybe even a league winner type player towards the end of the year. Curtis Samuel, he's a wide receiver three, and that's what you got him as. You know, that's what, and he's a wide receiver three every week with upside, in my opinion. You know, he had a week with zero, but we talk about a lot of wide receivers that have a week with zero. Didn't Metcalf have a week with zero or two recently? It happens with receivers. So
he did. You know, and it does with Tyler Lockett too. He has a week where he'll blow up 2 or 3 touchdowns, and then it's Metcalf's turn.
Yeah. So I like your squad for a lot of reasons, and I moved you up. If Mostert, man, if he gets back into that RB1, you will be a tough out in the playoffs. I'm still concerned with Jonathan Taylor, but you're starting him this week simply because of CEH has a bad matchup is what it sounds like. So yeah,
Tampa Bay is, you know, and I don't know if the Rams is the fair assessment. They could not run the ball. They had lost their top offensive line for run blocking, which didn't help. But listening to the Fantasy Channel today, they said, you got to start it. It's DEH. He's, and I don't know. If I put Pittman in, Pittman Jr., it's hard to play both the running back and the receiver. So Jonathan Taylor might be the odd man out. I'm not going to let the 11.4 stare at me and help facilitate that. I think Kansas City is going to score more points than the Colts will against Tennessee. So there's more opportunity.
Well, and I don't know anything about this yet, and we'll get to it with the trades, but I wonder, you know, for you, if now that you're getting Mostert back, if one of those guys, Taylor, CEH, if they're in your trade block, we'll talk about that in about 10 minutes. My number two team is Sonny at 4-7, 1,645 points. I feel ridiculous even ranking him number two. Here's some, I wrote down the most stuff about Sonny's team. So he's scored less than 133 points one time all year. His floor is in the 130s, which, you know, isn't crazy high, but there's a lot of guys, myself included, that I've had a lot of weeks under 130. he hasn't scored less than 123 points. That was his low, was 123. He's got matchups against Alex and Danny, it looks like, coming up. You know, I look at his receivers of Brown, McLaurin, Devontae Adams. According to Fantasy Pros, those guys are all top 15 receivers rest of season. And Brown and Adams are top five, and he's got the number seven QB for the rest of the season. So it's funny. I think unintentionally, Sonny has gone zero RB, and record wise, it's not working, but points wise, it is working. I think he's gotten some rough matchups, but yeah, he needs to win one and he'll be in the playoffs, but I think he's got it. You're not so happy with Sonny's zero RB strategy, but you know, what do you think overall?
I think Kalen Ballage is going away.
Right.
I've drawn a blank on
McKissick and
no, the Dolphins running back.
Oh,
Miles Gaskin. Miles Gaskin is practiced today.
Right.
Montgomery, if he's your one and McKissick's your two after Miles Gaskin comes back and knocks Ballage out.
Yeah.
I'm not a zero RB guy. And I'm not saying Montgomery's a zero. I don't know if I feel comfortable with him as my number one guy.
Right.
And I agree with you. Santi's floor is incredibly high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here is where I'm going to geek out a little bit on these numbers.
Do it.
Excuse me. And this is why, to me, the zero RB, because I think if he had a high-end running back in there, this could catapult him. And I mentioned the numbers 160 earlier. Okay. And that seems to kind of be the threshold where the point of no return. And what I mean by that is 27 times this year, there have been a team that scores 160 or higher. And if you score at least 160 points, you have almost a 90% chance you're going to win the game. Sure. The teams that score 160 are 24 wins and 3 losses.
I bet Tristan's at least 2 of those.
No, Tristan's actually done it 6 times. Oh, you mean 2 of the losses?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's undefeated when he scores over 160.
Okay, good deal.
I lost to Tristan, and I scored 167.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I've done it 5 times. You've done it 4 times. Jason has done it 4 times. And Santi has only done it twice. And I honestly think with his lineup, the reason he doesn't do it more often is because of his running back or his lack thereof. Yeah. I do. And again, 160 is not some magical number. It's just, but if you score 160 points, you've got a 89% chance that you're going to win. And Santi is so close. He's averaging about 151 points a week right now. If he had a running back to put him up over that threshold, he might be the favorite to win it.
Yeah. I think that he will do something. You know, you mentioned with Ballage, he's probably got 1 week in him because you meant Eckler, of course. You know, we're talking about Ballage. Eckler's probably coming back, you know, next week, the week after.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did mean that. Yes. Yeah.
You know, I knew what you meant. We had talked about it yesterday. You know, with Eckler coming back and, you know, I think he's with Junie's team now. Yeah, Ballage might have 1 week left, and it's not, you know, it's not like he's been amazing. He had 8 points last week against the Jets. Yeah, that being said, I do think Sonny's going to do something. He did give me a trade block, so I'm excited to talk about his because, man, I wish I had Sonny's team because I'd make about 8 trades in a week. Man, he's got so many guys out there that I think he could do a lot. And, of course, he's probably – yeah, I guess this year he definitely is the most conservative of everyone as far as trades go because even Tristan, who normally does not make trades, has done a lot. But Tristan's back at number one for me, you know, same as always, 7-4, 1,784 points, still the highest points. And I talked about Sonny's team only scoring less than 133 once. Tristan's team has only scored less than 152 points once for the year. So his floors is 152, it seems like.
Right.
And man, that I see a lot of, you know, myself, of course, is I'm getting 120s, 130s, and Alex is scoring 120 and winning, or I guess that's more Danny than Alex, but man, like, you've got to score 150 points to be in the running against Tristan. He's got a matchup with you this week that I think is going to be, I think that's going to be a fun one. And then he's got Junie at the end, but it'll be interesting because if Tristan ends as the, you know, 2-3 seed, you know, he might end up getting a Sonny in the first round. And those two, I would love to see that matchup, because if Sonny does pull off a trade that he's working on, that could be a big first round matchup that, you know, could be, you know, as good as the title game. But how do you feel about Tristan's team overall? And do you personally see any weaknesses? Because I have a hard time finding any.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It is. Tom Brady's kind of regressing. If you want to be critical, and I don't know about Matt Ryan, but I think Calvin Ridley's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful that Lamar Jackson isn't doing more or doing better with Baltimore, because that might mean Mark Andrews would be having a better year.
Yeah,
he's already the third highest scoring tight end, which kind of shows how bad the tight end position can be.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrews has had a couple good weeks.
Yeah.
But he's had a lot of twos and threes in there as well, too.
Right.
When I played him, I think it was week two. I think he won 171, 167. So that was the one time I broke 160 this year and didn't get the W.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, no, you said his floor is high. It is.
Yeah.
And scoring a buck 50 against him guarantees you nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly. It's tough, and he hasn't scored over 200. But you know, if your floor is 150, that's ridiculous. I don't see a lot of weaknesses with his team, I guess, unless there's an injury. You know, Brady is inconsistent at best, but he's still number eight. You know, as far as ranking the quarterback, you got Herbert at 7. Kareem Hunt is the 9th best running back. Derrick Henry's number 2. You know, then you got Mark Andrews. I mean, he's just got good players just all across the board. You can pick on him a little bit for having Chark there, but he's his 4th wide receiver. So, I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, that's a lot better than a lot of number 4 wide receivers out there, I guess I would say.
I like his team. I just I think the hope is when you play Tristan, and it'll be like that for me this week, is that that my team plays well. And of course we hope that every week. But there are weeks where you can score under 140, under 130 and get the win.
Danny. I'm just curious, because you said you did your own rankings. We were different in some. Which ones were we different in?
I had Tristan number 1.
Okay.
I agree with you with Santi, the points you made with this team. I had him back at number 5.
Okay.
And the reason for it is, and I thought, can I rank his team ahead of mine? I've got more wins. He's got 20 more points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust his running back situation. And I had beat Santi twice head-to-head this year.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time having 3 more wins than him, only a handful of points less, and the head-to-head battle, putting him ahead of myself. Now, that might be – maybe I've lost some objectivity looking at it, but that was my – sole reasoning for that. But if I use that reasoning, I had to put Jason ahead of me as well. I put, because Jason won our head-to-head battle. He's only got 8 more points than me, and over the last 5 weeks the point differential is exactly the same as it is if you add it up over the whole year for Jason.
Right.
The only reason I thought about putting myself over Jason was because he lost Joe Burrow. And again, as we mentioned earlier, I'm getting Raheem Mostert back.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's big. But for this week, I had Tristan, I had Jason number two, I had me three, I had you number four, and I had Solace five.
Okay. Pretty close, though. All right.
Pretty close.
Well, let's get into my favorite part of the show, trading blocks, you know, any trade advice. So what I want to do is we'll go through, I'll tell you all the trading blocks that I got. I'll give you my own, you tell me yours. And then I like to throw out hypothetical trades out there to you, whether it's about your team or anyone else's team, and just say, who says no, who says no. So trading, what I ask people to do is tell me who's on their block, you know, who are they're most willing to trade, and tell me what they want in return. Now two people just said, hey, anyone's available. I need to do a deal. So Evan and Junie both are just, you know, they need to make the playoffs, and they're scrapping and fighting for everything to make the playoffs right now. So they say, make me an offer and we'll try to figure something out. Anyone's available. You know, just knowing Evan, Kamara is going to be a tough one to trade. But if you offered him a 2-for-1 for Kamara of guys who are going to get him points this week, he might take it, just because he's got to get 2 wins in a row while also hoping for some people to lose. Junie isn't anyone. Jason said he is willing to trade anyone except Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, and it'll be hard for him to trade Tyreek Hill, but he's out there if it's a big offer. So anyone else other than those three. And he wants to get a quarterback or a wide receiver in return. So you're not really making any running back plays against Jason, but you know, he wants a wide receiver. So I don't know how you structure a deal where you get a wide receiver and you have to give a wide receiver. It's hard to make those 1-for-1 type deals, but hey, maybe it's out there. Sonny put out there, Watson and AJ Brown are on the block, which that's a pretty appealing trade block in my opinion. And he's willing to take back pretty much anything, you know, QB, wide receiver, running back. But I think we all agree he needs a running back. That's his biggest need. Tristan is offering out there Damien Harris and T Higgins, and he's trying to get a starting wide receiver. I think he's just trying to get someone to fill in where he's got Chark right now. And then just for myself, I'm trying to get a better flex running back. That's my main goal. If I can do it, you know, get a guy that is going to get me 15, 20 carries a week. And I know that's a tough ask, but I'm willing to trade. You know, Jefferson is out there. Josh Jacobs is out there. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, trade Jacobs and you want a flex running back, but just in a larger picture offer, Jacobs is out there. My only three that I would ask a lot for are Diggs, Hopkins, and Chubb. Hopkins is one of my favorite players. Diggs is one of my favorite players. And Chubb, I probably value way higher than anyone else. So that's my three that I wouldn't trade. And what's your trade block before we do some hypotheticals?
Any one of my four running backs. Now that I've got Mostert back, I feel comfortable. And we talked about this yesterday, and I think I kind of dropped the ball on this earlier in the year. Even from you, I had multiple offers from ones in the league for Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
And I kept listening to the pundits on the XM Fantasy Football show saying, don't trade Taylor. Trade for him, buy him on the cheap, get him. And look, if he continues what he did last week, maybe I made the right decision. But right. Now would be the time to trade Jonathan Taylor now that he had a good week last week.
Sure.
I think your podcast last week was, or the previous week was when he was on the Thursday night game and was doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
And I think you guys were talking about he's almost unstartable.
Yeah.
I threw him in my lineup anyway. And he paid off for me last week. So I don't know what Frank Reich is going to do going forward, but I would be willing to trade a running back. I would like to upgrade it at wide receiver yet myself.
Yeah. As far as upgraded receiver, are you looking for like a number two, a wide receiver two, maybe a wide receiver three? You know, because I think if I'm you, if you're saying, okay, I want a wide receiver two back for, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So is that kind of what you're doing? Are you saying, hey, maybe I'll put Robinson out there and try to get a one, go get a hypothetical out there, James Robinson for AJ Brown? Are you doing that?
Oh, good question. Gut reaction, no.
Right. If that's an interesting one, because on paper, you know, if you plug that into a trade analyzer, it'd be like, no, don't do that. Don't trade Robinson for AJ Brown. But you got, you know, a running back two sitting on your bench. You just put right in there for Robinson, and then you really bulk up your receivers, because everyone, you know, Fantasy Pros is the rankings I go off of, and their rest of season has AJ Brown at number two, the number two receiver. Or number five. They're at the number five receiver. You know, you got Thielen there already, so you'll have two top 10 receivers in there with Boyd. You know, let's see how he does without Burrow, but Pittman Jr., I think that's a great wide receiver 3-4 to have right now, because I think they're unleashing him. So, you know, to me, you say no. I think that's an interesting one, though, for both of you.
And I said I think that was my gut initial reaction.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with your assessment. Sure. Plugging Mostert in where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that makes me nervous about Tyler Boyd, he's been consistent this year, is losing Joe Burrow. And I think I seen on a report tonight that it's not even Ryan Findley that's going to be their quarterback. It's going to be Brandon Allen as their starting quarterback. I can't say I know much about him. I don't know what kind of rapport he has with with the wide receivers, if any at all. So it'll be interesting to see what Tyler Boyd does going forward. So yeah. I wouldn't mind upgrading that. No.
I got a couple more for your team before we go, you know, other teams. If Evan said, I'll give you, I know this is a tough one for him, but I'll give you Alvin Kamara if you give me Mostert, who I know he really likes, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So then your running backs become Kamara, Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, but no bench running back.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I do.
For both of you though, right? Because Evan needs a win.
I like it both ways.
Yeah.
I think if I was the Kamara owner, I don't think I would, I think I'd be on board with that. And being from my side, I think I would be too.
Well, and you know, he's starting Adrian Peterson this week as of now. And I know that there's a thought that Swift might be out, and, you know, Evan might go make a waiver pickup, but, you know, you get CEH and Mostert, who I know he likes Mostert. You know, the Niners are his team. He's been wanting Mostert all season. You got those two guys going with your three receivers. That's, you know, that could be really good for him. I know he likes Kamara, but at this point, what he's got to do, if he has to get wins and he's going to, you know, make trades to do so, he's got to dilute some of those, you know, Kamara, Jones, Thomas, maybe even Allen, depending on what he can get for him. But, and he's got to say, you know, I need a two for one. I need two for ones on all this. So yeah, those two running backs were his one, you know, great running back. Let's look at Jason's team real quick, just to go back with Evan's team. Where's Jason at? I mean, this one's tough because I don't love Jason's receivers, but DJ Moore and Chase Claypool for Julio Jones. I mean, maybe you do it just because more opportunities to get him points. I don't know, but That's just how I feel Evan needs to be trading if he's really making a push. And yeah, I like that deal for both of you guys too. Kamara for CEH and Mostert. I don't see who really loses that, because now he's got two top 15 running back plays over a top five running back play. So
yeah, I agree. And my philosophy has always been, I'm not going to trade one for one if it's the same position.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does it make your team better? Now, of course, if it's a severe upgrade, but someone's not going to make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going two for one, and if the second guy you're receiving is going to push a guy out of your lineup that's only projected to get 5 points, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's the same thing if you want to go running back for running back and somebody throws a receiver in, that makes sense. I just don't like trading position player for the same position player.
Right.
Just straight up one for one. It never made sense.
I agree, because then it's like, okay, it's position based. It's opinion based. So it's like, you know, if I'm trading, yeah, one for one, it's like, who do I like better? And that's probably not the smartest way to really play fantasy football in general. I kind of like, you know, maybe you and Junie doing something, because you got a running back, and man, it's tough to say, but I was thinking somewhere along the lines of a James Robinson, maybe with, I got to remember who you have as your other wide receivers, James Robinson and
Boyd Thielen.
Yeah.
Jerry Judy, CeeDee Lamb.
I'm thinking Boyd, you know, maybe if you can get off of Boyd, but you're giving away an RB1 to him, and go get Chris Carson, who's been out for a while. And Junie can't risk Carson missing another week, and Carson's questionable again, but get Chris Carson and Will Fuller. You know, I think that's an upgrade for you at receiver, a little bit of a downgrade at running back, but better running back play for Junie. I don't know that he does that one necessarily, but I think that makes sense for both of you though. You're upgrading a receiver and getting a quality running back in return.
To the same position players, but the difference is that I'm upgrading in one position. Mm-hmm. He's upgrading on the other. Mm-hmm. I have no problems with that either.
Yeah. Upside play too. I mean, Will Fuller is shaky at best. The one that I presented to Sonny, and he didn't actually give me a real answer. He just said,
sounds like Sonny.
Yeah. I texted it to him. So here was the offer. It was me to him. I give him Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr, and either Sterling Shepard or Patrick and Tim Patrick, one of the two, not both, for Deshaun Watson, AJ Brown, and McKissick. He didn't give me an answer. I'll just put it for me. I do it because I need a better quarterback. I'm happy to upgrade. You know, obviously AJ Brown is a big upgrade over Shepard or Tim Patrick. And, you know, for him, he's going to get his RB1 that he's won. He's going to get Josh Jacobs, and he's already got Kyler Murray there as a quarterback. So throwing Derek Carr as his QB2 isn't the end of the world. And he's already got other really good receivers. So I guess to me, that trade was for him to get his running back and for me to get my quarterback.
And who would you receive? Watson?
Watson, Brown, and McKissick.
Boy, I think that's close.
Yeah.
I do. I think it would work both ways. I do.
I like that I'm giving good ones this week, because there's a lot of weeks that I throw them out there and it's like, no, that's not even close. I like that it's at least close this week. We'll try to get everyone there. Tristan had Higgins and Damian Harris out there, and he wanted to upgrade at wide receiver. I guess it's like his wide receiver 3 or 4. Just off the top, I thought about offering him, it was going to be Justin Jefferson for Damian Harris and I might have said T. Higgins. I'm not sure. And really the play there for me was Damian Harris. I just think that if he's my flex, I feel pretty comfortable. Just, you know, I personally have a feeling that he might be one of those league winner guys. But do you, you know, Jefferson's, he's a really good wide receiver. So it's hard for me to get rid of him. But if I can get that flex running back, I like that a lot.
I like Harris. The only thing I don't like about Harris is all the goal line touches go to Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He's kind of volume and yard dependent. Now, he did get a rushing touchdown last week.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, Cam Newton, when they're inside the 5-yard line, it is.
Yeah.
That's the only detriment to Damian Harris.
Another one that I threw out there to Tristan, and he said he probably wouldn't do this. And I don't even remember his reasoning. I don't think he gave me a reason, but it was Juju for Damian Harris straight up. Juju Smith-Schuster for Damian Harris, 1-for-1. Give Sonny a running back. Maybe it's not a running back one, but it's probably better than what he's got in there right now. And Harris has got potential. You know, if he gets the goal line work, then that's pretty big. But is that – who says no for that?
Probably the Harris owner.
Okay.
I just don't know what receiver it's going to be each week there in Pittsburgh. Right. And that's why I like Big Ben. He's got choices. He's got a lot of options. Mm-hmm. If they shadow somebody, he's got two other viable wide receivers to throw to.
Right.
But you don't know which one it's going to be every week. We talked earlier about Claypool putting up a goose egg.
Right.
Deontay Johnson seems to be the guy that's getting it right now. I had him earlier in the year. I traded him to you.
Yeah.
And he's doing well. Juju seems to be the guy that right when you think he's being forgotten, he'll put it in a big game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. He still gets looks. You know, he still gets a good amount of targets. So I don't dislike Juju. And, you know, in Tristan's team, should they do that deal, that would be his fourth receiver. You know, you're starting him over Chark, I think. So I don't think he's a bad play as your fourth receiver in your starting lineup. One more that I wanted to point out was, and I know Jason said Zeke is not on the block, and that's fine, but if he was offered Deshaun Watson and A.J. Brown for Zeke and Tannehill, is that – that's pretty close, isn't it? I mean, I know he doesn't want to trade Zeke, but man, if I'm him, I'm considering that.
Yeah, I'll say that again.
Deshaun Watson and A.J. Brown, who is Sonny's guys on the block, for Tannehill and Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, you might say Sonny loses that trade, but again, Sonny's got plenty of receivers. He's got Kyler Murray there. I don't think Tannehill is a QB1, but he's a good QB2. And then he gets Zeke. He gets his RB1 back. So I like that trade for both of them. I know that Jason said Zeke's not out there, but I think if you're Jason, you got to at least consider that trade.
Yeah, and Sonny having that running back again is going to help push him over that number we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier, that threshold that he's only eclipsed twice. And, you know, he's only got 4 wins on the season. 2 of them were when he broke the 1-4.
Right.
And that's just the magic number. It seems like 24 out of 27 times that you break 160, you're going to win.
I think he's one running back away, and it seems like A.J. Brown is the guy on his block. I know he likes McLaurin. I know there's interest in McLaurin because people think that McLaurin is Sonny's third best receiver, but I don't think Sonny sees it that way. Sonny really likes that guy, so I think Sonny's keeping McLaurin. But, man, I'm going to try to make a play for A.J. Brown and Deshaun Watson. Those guys are out there. Sonny's he needs an RB1 back. So whatever you offer him for that, whoever's listening, you got to offer an RB1 back for that. And I think that you and him could do something there because you do have the extra running back on your roster. I think there's a trade to be had there between you two as well.
Sonny, I got you on speed dial. Call me.
There you go.
But Jake, throw this one out there. Or
yeah.
How would you compare the Deshaun Watson to Josh Allen?
I'm not looking at either of them right now. So just off the top of my head, I like Josh Allen better because I don't feel like Deshaun Watson has been running nearly as much. And at least when I had Josh Allen, he seemed like he was picking up, you know, maybe 20, 30 yards a game, you know, rushing by himself. And he was getting the goal line carries a few times because Singletary and Moss just aren't doing it over there. And he's got the targets too. Diggs is one of my favorite guys because he throws to him a lot. He throws downfield a lot. John Brown, when he's healthy, gives him the ball a lot. Cole Beasley is kind of his safety, you know, in the middle there. So I like John Brown, but Deshaun Watson, he's got big, big game potential. I think that they're both top 10, but if I had to rank them, Josh Allen's probably 4 or 5, and Deshaun Watson's probably like 7 to 9.
I think they're 4. Josh Allen's number 4 right now.
Yeah.
Watson is it number 5 or 6?
Okay. So they're close.
they're close. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I with QBs anymore, you're looking at upside with rushing, you know, rushing upside. And that's not always the case because Mahomes doesn't rush all that much, but is he the number one still? At least he was last week.
No, it's Kyler Murray.
And as a Cardinals fan, I watch Murray, and that dude is so fast. I wish he would rush the ball more. I mean, that guy, he is so fast that – yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But he's number 2. And Mahomes, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's a big rushing quarterback.
I think he does when he has to. And yeah. he got a few scrambles this last week against Oakland or Las Vegas to keep drives alive. He'll do it when he has to. But he's one of the pure quarterbacks in this league that doesn't have to rush the ball. He's going to score points. He's something else. He is. Yeah. I know I sound like a man crushing him, but
hey, that's your guy.
I'm a Raider fan, and watching him in that game on Sunday night, I thought the Raiders lost that game on that pass interference right in the end zone with about 3 minutes to go. I thought they're going to score too early here now, and they're going to give Mahomes a minute and a half, and he needed all of 65 seconds, and there was the game.
It was like a minute 14, I think, and they go down the field and score. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
But my thought was they gave him too much time. That pass interference put them on the goal line, which I thought sealed the game for KC at that point.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of trades to be had. Trade deadline is 1 week away, so you know, send some offers out there, guys. Everyone is eligible to trade right now. I think, you know, the rule is going to be if you are out of the playoffs, you can't make trades, which there's only going to be a 2-day period that you could because trade deadline's next Wednesday. But everyone, there's a lot to do. I'm looking at Evan. I hope that he does some just major crazy blockbusters because that's his style. And I really hope that this is the week Sonny gets his running back. I've been waiting all year for it. So let's just go through real quick. We'll pick our team or our games for this coming week and we'll get out of here. All right, I'll just go down how I see it. Me versus Junie, I'm projected 143. He's projected 132.
I like you.
I'm gonna go me. I don't have anyone on a bye. And yeah, I think if I make a switch at quarterback, I'll probably make a trade. I'm going to send some offers tonight or tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm going to go with myself. Right now, you and Tristan are the next matchup. You're projected 3 points more, 153 to 150. It's tough, man. It's tough because his team, it just that floor of that 150, 152. But I'll pick Tristan because I think you should pick yourself, but if Mostert, you know, is back, he's your X factor. So I'll pick Tristan, but it's close.
That's fair.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you're picking yourself on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with myself. You know, a lot of it is going to come down to there's just a lot of information that's not out yet regarding, is Adam Thielen going to play?
Right.
Is Mostert going to play? It's pointing towards him playing.
Right.
What's going to happen with Tyler Boyd with another quarterback that hasn't played yet this year? So with those variables, I think it looks better for Tristan. But if everything lines up, if Thielen plays, Mostert plays, Boyd is okay, I'm going to say, yeah, I'll go with it.
Yeah.
No, and that point total might change.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm putting CEH in there instead of Jonathan Taylor. So that'll drop my point total closer to where it fits.
Well, I think you're going to have a trade before then. Just personally, I think someone's going to listen to this. Maybe even Evan, you know, because I keep thinking about that Mostert and CEH trade. Man, I think you're going to have a trade in there before you even play. But we'll just go Sonny versus Alex. Sonny's projected 151. Alex at 133. There's no way I'm picking Alex. I'm gonna pick Sonny. And you know what? Hey, Alex is 8-3. But you know what, Sonny, you gotta pull this one out, Sonny.
He's got to score 160.
Yeah, he's got to score 160.
Come on, Sonny, get there.
I hope he makes his running back trade, because if he does, then I think I feel justified ranking him top three every week and doing it. Recently has been tough because you look and you're like, how's he top three? He's got no running back. So another, you know, the next matchup of Jason versus Evan, this is a must win for Evan. So I'm going to go off and say that Evan's going to just blow his team up. I think he's just going to go crazy knowing that this could be his last week of being in contention for the playoffs. He should just go crazy and do everything he possibly can. And Evan has fun trading, so I think that if this is really his last week, he can do it potentially. He's just going to go all in.
I think that's a good strategy. It is.
I'll pick Evan.
I want to see what he does for trades this week, but his team is too good on paper just to disregard it. So. I'm going to say this could be one of the upsets this week. I'll say that.
All right. Well, and then the other guy that needs a win, or one of them, is Zach. Forgot his name for a second. Zach. His name says Danny in it, so I always want to say Danny. Zach against Danny, of course. You know, this is an interesting one. If Swift doesn't play, I will take Danny. If Swift does play and Zach is, you know, puts him in his lineup, I'll take Zach.
I think this is the week where things start to even out for some of these teams that have been getting by. I think Zach pulls this off this week. I do.
All right. Well,
he's just got to get Le'Veon Bell out of his lineup. I don't care who it is, whether it be Zach Moss or DeAndre Swift. He's got to get Le'Veon Bell out of it.
Yeah, he does. That's a silly, silly start right there. So, well, hey, you know what? That was fun. We did fine on time. I'm not even worried about it because we talked so much trade that, you know, we had to. But yeah, I'll get this uploaded. But that was fun, Scott. I'm not 100% sure who my guest is next week, so I'll keep everyone updated, or maybe it'll be a surprise. I don't know. But I'll talk to you later, and thanks for coming on this week.
Perfect. Thank you for having me. Ed, can I include this real quick?
Yeah.
You know, with all these moves that we're talking about and the rankings, look, winning a fantasy football championship is very difficult to do. And if any have played, and I know this league has been in existence for a number of years.
Yeah.
You can have the best team. You can get the bye. We don't have a bye in this league.
No.
It takes one bad week. And all that work is done.
Yeah.
And once you get to the playoffs, it's very difficult. But I like this format. I like the rankings. Gives us something to talk about, and it kind of gives you something to look forward to. Like, hey, what don't I see that maybe somebody else does?
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice. And so with that said, Sonny, go get a running back.
Go get a running back. You know, and I'll just echo that just this podcast in general, in my opinion, like even if I wasn't the one hosting it, I like it because we get someone else in the league every single week who has their own set of opinions, who probably overvalues their own team. I like that factor because when I was writing the rankings, you know, it's my opinion only. And sometimes my opinions about some of the teams are pretty strong. Like I always dogged on Zach because Zach never did anything. But I like, you know, having everyone's opinions. And, you know, to me as being the co-league manager with Tristan, I just like to keep it, everyone involved. You know, I'm in two other leagues, not yours. Cause I actually like your leagues for the keeper and the future draft pick trading. But it's like the other two leagues I'm in, nobody really trades. Nobody does anything. I don't really care that much. I set my lineup and make a couple pickups and that's it. So that's why we do this. And yeah, I like our league. Just, I'm trying to keep everyone involved and having a good time. So, and I think this has been a good part of that. So good job with the idea, Evan. But yeah, with that, we'll get out of here and we'll talk next week with, we'll see, surprise guest, I guess.